Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday, March 12th, 2025, and I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, your Red State refugee, and welcome to the Radical Russ Show, coming to you live and direct from my undisclosed mountain hideaway in the beautiful state of Jefferson region of Southern Oregon. Coming up on today's program, Crazy Donnie's White House of Cars. We'll take a look at the things Trump had to say while trying to sell swastika cars on our White House lawn. We've got our Secretary of Health and Human Services, the human catcher's mitt, RFK Jr., promoting measles at a fast food restaurant. You can't make this stuff up. We've also got the continuing adventures of Crazy Donnie trying to pull a Napoleon here and annex the great nation of Canada and the territory of Greenland in his imperial ambitions. We'll talk about just how crazy that is. We've also got some great audio happening in the United States Congress where a GOP chairman tried to misgender transgender representative Sarah McBride, and the results that happened from there give me some hope that maybe people are starting to wake up from this this crazy attack on transgender people. Also, some news from the International War on Drugs, something that I covered for years and years, and so glad to report this story where the International Criminal Court has arrested former Philippines President Roberto Duterte. Then we'll have our regular Boycott Idaho segment. We'll tell you just how white and delightsome the gem state is. And then for the radical rant, I'll take some time and wonder where the hell is the Democratic shadow cabinet when we need them. All that coming up on this morning's The Radical Rush Show. Start with this insane event that just took place at the White House, where Elon Musk showed up with one of his swastika cars, a Tesla car, and one of those incel Caminos, the Cybertruck, brought them over to the White House lawn for Donald Trump to make a sales pitch to help poor Elon, because you understand the Tesla stock is tanking. I reported yesterday how the 52-week high was something like $480 a share, and now they're under like $230, $220. I haven't checked it this morning, but less than half of its value. And one of the scary statistics to come out of that is, you know, we know that Elon Musk is the richest human being in the world, at least net worth on paper. A lot of that owes to his Tesla stock. And since that Tesla stock has been cratering, since the inauguration, it was reported that he's lost $100 billion in net worth. Now, the scary part is, after losing $100 billion in net worth, he is still the richest man on the planet. That gives you some idea what sort of crazy gilded age disparities we're living under here. This income inequality, where kids are going without lunches and people are dying from not having enough health care. But Elon Musk has billions and billions of dollars, mostly owing to taxpayer subsidies of his companies like Tesla, like SpaceX, like Starlink. But I digress. He's lost $100 billion. And so part of the problem is that people are beginning to protest at these Tesla dealerships. Been seeing a lot of reports coming out where people are just gathering at the Tesla dealerships, putting up their swastika signs and don't support fascism. It's getting so bad that the Tesla owners are starting to put stickers on their car. I bought this before Elon went crazy. Don't blame me. Well, no, sorry. You bought the swastika car, you get everything that comes with it. So Donald Trump decides he has to step in here and help his boy because, you know, he bought him an election and everything. So he brought some Teslas to the White House lawn and gave a little press briefing there. And there's a photo going around that shows Trump with the notes in his hand of, you know, what the Teslas cost. And if you order now, we can get you whatever percent, you know, like a damn commercial script. How far we've fallen now that the White House lawn is now Crazy Donnie's used car lot. Just so embarrassing that he has to try to prop up his buddy here. And it's gotten so bad that he's actually threatening the people that are protesting. He posted on his Truth Toilet the other day, to Republicans, conservatives, and all great Americans, Elon Musk is putting it on the line in order to help our nation. And he is doing a fantastic job. But the radical left lunatics, as they often do, are trying to illegally and collusively boycott Tesla, one of the world's great automakers and Elon's baby, in order to attack and do harm to Elon and everything he stands for. Notice the framing that trying to illegally and collusively boycott Tesla. As if there's a law out there that requires us to buy Teslas. As if there's not a First Amendment to the Constitution that provides us our right to free speech, our right to peaceably assemble, and our right to petition our government for a redress of grievances. He wants to shut that down. And remember, last time when he talked about shutting down protests, he was asking the military, well, can't you shoot him in the legs? Can't you beat the hell out of him? Can't you crack some skulls? And the military officials at the time were like, no, Mr. President, because, you know, Constitution, law, basic human decency. Well, we don't have those guardrails anymore. He's got the people in charge there, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, and all the generals that they've put in charge at this point. Who knows, the next Tesla protest might get violent. Who knows if cops might start cracking skulls on some of the protesters like what Trump wants. So he goes on saying they tried to do it to me at the 2024 presidential ballot box, but how did that work out? In his mind, he equates everybody on the left who's protesting the Teslas to the voters for Kamala Harris, as if voting for Kamala Harris was a boycott of him. The way his mind works, it's a little frightening. In any event, he continues, I'm going to buy a brand new Tesla tomorrow morning as a show of confidence and to support Elon Musk, a truly great American. Why should he be punished for putting his tremendous skills to work in order to help make America great again? Okay, so he actually, we got some audio on this one, where he's out there on the White House lawn. Fox News produced this audio, and one of the reporters out there is asking him about the Tesla protests.
Some say they should be labeled domestic terrorists.
I will do that. I'll do it. I'm going to stop them. We catch anybody doing it because they're harming a great American company. You know, I've stuck up for the NFL. I've stuck up for a lot of American companies and other companies, but American companies. I did a very big favor for the NFL. I do favors for all of them. When you heard an American company, especially a company like this, supplies so many jobs that others are unable to do, when you do that, those people are going to go through a big problem when we catch them. And we have a lot of, you got a lot of cameras up. We already know who some of them are. We're going to catch them. And they're bad guys. They're the same guys that screw around with our schools and universities, the same garbage. And no, we're going to catch them. And let me tell you, you do it to Tesla and you do it to any company, we're going to catch you and you're going to go through hell.
That's the president saying that if you protest an American company, they're going to catch you for protesting, I guess, and you're going to go through hell. And he talks about, you know, if you affect an American company, if you're going to hurt an American company, have you seen the stock market, sir? Have you seen what you've done to the stock market? Have you seen what you're doing? Talking about hurting American companies when you're putting tariffs on steel and aluminum, when you're putting tariffs on all of these goods coming from Canada. Don't you think that's hurting American companies? The companies already are starting to lay off people, to put off major purchases, because one day there's tariffs, one day there's not tariffs. Sometimes it's tariffs on everything, then next it's tariffs on just a few things. We're getting set up here where the United States government is just a big protection racket. And you go to the mob boss here, the Don, and what kind of favor can you do for me? One of these days I'm going to have to request a favor from you. and try to get your company some sort of carve out of these insane mercurial tariffs that appear and disappear at a whim. The only person out there harming American companies right now is you, Donnie the used car salesman. And oh my, how things have changed when it comes to Donald Trump and his appreciation of Tesla and electric vehicles. Why? Pepperidge Farm remembers just, what was it, 2022, 2.5 years ago, when Trump was posting on his Truth Toilet, quote, "When Elon Musk came to the White House asking me for help on all his many subsidized projects, whether it's electric cars that don't drive long enough, driverless cars that crash, or rocket ships to nowhere, without which subsidies he'd be worthless, and telling me how he was a big Trump fan and Republican, I could have said, drop to your knees and beg, and he would have done it." Well, how the tables have turned. Who's dropping to their knees now in service of Elon Musk? Devastating as the election of Donald Trump is to the future of the United States of America, I think even more damage is going to be done to this great country by the appointment of the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. My God, talk about Nepo baby fail, son. What a disappointment and embarrassment to all the great Kennedys who have come before him. Oh my God, we are in for some death and destruction. Thanks to this idiot. So the most recent bit here was his appearance with Sean Hannity at what appears to be a fast food joint. Let's start with that Kennedy is doing an interview with some burgers and fries in front of him, promoting the general health of the United States of America, of course. And they're discussing the measles outbreak. And it's important to remember that when Kennedy got confirmed, it was a 52-48 vote. All the Democrats voted against him, as well as Mitch McConnell, outgoing Republican majority leader. And probably the only reason he voted against is because he is outgoing and has nothing left to lose. But during the confirmation hearings, he tried to lie his way through this. He had said, denied being anti-vaccine, said he is pro-safety. And quote, "I believe that vaccines play a critical role in healthcare." Now, Bernie Sanders was grilling him on this point and asked Kennedy if he says, is there evidence that vaccines do not cause autism? Because this is one of the things that, you know, Kennedy promotes out there, is that some reason, you know, that the massive increase in autism diagnoses doesn't owe to the fact that now we recognize what autism is, right? Used to be just, oh, that kid's troubled, you know, put him in a special class. But now we understand what autism is. We understand the spectrum a little better, you know, so now it's a little easier to, you know, count all those folks. But no, it's not that. For Kennedy and the vaccine skeptics, the vaccine deniers, the anti-science lunatics out there, for them, it's autism is caused by vaccines. Yeah, we vaccinated all these kids, and so now the autism's up. So there is no evidence to support this. In fact, there's plenty of studies to contradict this. And that's what Bernie Sanders was bringing up. Kennedy starts to say in his confirmation hearing, well, if you show me these studies, I will absolutely. And it's like, dude, the studies are there. Sanders says, that's a very troubling response because the studies are there. Your job is to have looked at those studies before you get the job. He tried and apparently succeeded with enough Republicans to indicate that, no, he's not some anti-vax whack job. Well, of course, now that he's got the gig, you know, all the pretense is gone and he can go back to being an anti-vax whack job. So he's sitting there in the fast food restaurant with Sean Hannity when he says this.
The government shouldn't force them to do it. There are adverse events from the vaccine. It does cause deaths every year. It causes all the illnesses that measles itself causes, encephalitis and blindness, etc. And so people ought to be able to make that choice for themselves. And what we need to do is give them the best information and encourage them to vaccinate. The vaccine does stop the spread of the disease.
I want everyone to just...
So RFK there just said there are adverse events from the vaccine. It does cause deaths every year. You know how many hospitalizations for adverse effects to measles vaccine occurred last year? Zero. No hospitalizations. Do you know how many hospitalizations we've got in West Texas right now because of measles? Over 200. We've got a person who's already died. We have a kid who died and a second death in New Mexico now. People die from this. And the other thing about measles is that measles attacks the rest of your body's immune system. Basically, it deprograms your immune system from having the immunity that it's already gained against other diseases. So when you get measles, if you'd had some other disease previously and you're immune to that, you're not immune to it anymore. And measles kills that immunity. And measles is the most communicable disease we've got. It's like something like an R25, which is like what that means is any person that gets that disease, the average number of people they're going to infect is like 25 people. Most things like the cold or the flu or whatever, the number is like 1.2, 1.6, something like that, right? Even Ebola doesn't infect as many people as measles does. It's the most communicable disease there is. It does not cause deaths every year. People are not dying from the measles vaccine. And the measles vaccine does not cause the illnesses that measles causes, does not cause encephalitis. These anti-vax nut jobs are just in this cult-like state where it really comes down to conspiracy thinking. The government's out to kill me. The government's secretly out to kill me. They want to kill us all. The government wants to kill us all. And here's their secret way you're going to do it. They're going to force us to take injections that'll kill us all. And normally, I'm the kind of person who's all about bodily sovereignty,
right?
I'm all about, you know, if you want an abortion, you should be able to get it. If you want to alter your body in some way, you should be free to do so. You want to take steroids, you want to take drugs, your body, have at it. Until it affects other people, right? You want to snort coke and do PCP in your house? Great. Have at it. Enjoy yourself. Keep some naloxone handy. But if you're going to go do that out in the street and start wilding out and freaking people out, no, that's not cool, right? It's perfectly fine if you want to have an abortion, but it's not perfectly fine if you want to force someone else to have one or not have one. Okay, so I'm cool with bodily integrity when it's your choice that doesn't affect others. But your choice to vaccinate or not vaccinate affects others. There's such a thing as herd immunity. You got to get like 95% of the people vaccinated because some people cannot be vaccinated. They cannot. Compromised immune systems, other medical conditions, they can't get vaccinated. So the rest of us have to. So that disease isn't running rampant and then affects the people who can't be vaccinated. But now the vaccination rates in these places like West Texas where the measles are running rampant is like down to 82%. It's just so amazing to me that we came up with the greatest scientific breakthrough in human history. We managed to actually defeat the only predators out there that can seriously affect us. Viruses, germs, bacteria. There are no other apex predators to go after us. All the predators we face are microscopic, and we found a way to defeat them. Measles was eradicated in this country as of 2000. And now anti-vax nut jobs like RFK helped bring it back. He got hundreds killed in Samoa because of promoting this anti-vax nonsense. Let me give you another one of these. There's another quote from RFK Jr. there at the fast food restaurant.
You know, if you get it used to be when I were kids, everybody got measles. And measles gave you lifetime protection against measles infection. The vaccine doesn't do that. The vaccine is effective for some people for life, but many people, it wanes. And One of the problems is it does not appear to provide maternal immunity. It used to be a very young kid. You don't want a 1-year-old kid getting measles. That's very dangerous. They were protected by breast milk and by maternal immunity. But women who get vaccinated do not provide that level of maternal immunity that the natural measles infection did. So you're now seeing measles hit very, very young kids and hitting older people within whom the vaccine has waned. And that is something that we need to worry about and that we're looking at HHS.
First of all.
Well, all right. It used to be everybody got measles because we didn't have a vaccine for it, right? That's part of that. But the other thing I want to drill down on this thing, he says that the measles vaccination does not give you lifetime protection against measles. And for some people, it wanes. Here's one of those really upsetting instances where someone's telling a kernel of truth, but twisting it in a way that belies what the truth is. He's got an agenda here, folks. He's got an agenda to make people not want to get the vaccine, to refuse the vaccine. Okay? So what he's referring to is the fact that the measles vaccine has evolved. It has gotten better over time. And that if you were vaccinated for measles before 1963, you got an okay vaccination, right? That measles vaccination should take care of you for your life. Between 1963 and 1968, there was a version of the measles vaccine that was not as effective and did wane over people's lifetime. I'm in that cohort. I was born in 68. So I need to get an update to my measles vaccine. It may not be as good and may not protect me as much. But after 1968, everybody that's been vaccinated since then has gotten a wonderful measles vaccine that does last for a lifetime. So there's a kernel of truth there. Yes, if you got vaccinated between 63 and 68, if you're older Gen X, if you're in the Gen Jones region, you know, me, Kamala Harris and such, if you're in that area of age, late 50s, you should go get an update to your measles vaccine. That does not mean all measles vaccines have a problem. Okay. And the other thing we have is this idea that young children were protected by maternal immunity through breast milk meant that the mom had to get measles at some point. So he's trying to promote this idea that it's just okay for people to go out and get measles so they can build a natural immunity to measles. Never mind the fact that when you get the measles, it can cost you your hearing. It can cost you your immunity to other diseases. It can even kill you. I'm just the level of evil that we are dealing with now, trying to get people to refuse the greatest scientific breakthrough in human history, is one of the most disturbing parts of this terrible dark age that we're living through. So, have you heard all these claims about the deadly Canadian fentanyl? Oh, you haven't? Yeah, so the latest thing that the Orange Mussolini is promoting is that we've got this terrible flow of fentanyl across the border, killing Americans from Canada. Trump was out the other day saying that he's seen video of secret Canadian fentanyl labs that the Canadian police know about but aren't taking down. And this deadly Canadian fentanyl is pouring across the border to kill Americans. Well, everybody that studies this, and this is a subject, again, that I have some experience in, having reported on the drug war for over 15 years, the idea that there's a massive amount of fentanyl coming from Canada is ludicrous. Certainly, far more drugs come from the United States and pour into Canada than any amount of drugs coming from Canada into the United States. Anybody with any real knowledge of this situation from law enforcement, from the pharmaceutical industry, from the recovery industry, rehabs, all of that will tell you this is complete bullshit. There is no massive wave of fentanyl coming from Canada. Just like Saddam Hussein did not try to secure yellow cake uranium from Niger. For my older listeners out there who lived through the George W. Bush administration, the beginning of my radio career in the 2000s, you remember as we were trying to gin up support for invading a country that had nothing to do with 9/11? 15 of 19 of the hijackers of the planes that crashed into the Twin Towers and the Pentagon in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, 15 and 19 of them were Saudis. There was massive support that we could find from the Saudi government. So, of course, we went after Iraq and Saddam Hussein. Yeah. And at the time, people were a little skeptical of that, saying, oh, Saddam Hussein, he didn't have nothing to do with 9/11. So we had to invent the yellow cake uranium. Remember Secretary of State Colin Powell in front of the UN with his little vial, yellow cake uranium coming from Iraq. And that was the drumbeat to war. That's what led us to invading Iraq, shock and awe, 4 years, 4,000 troops dying, mission accomplished. A disaster of foreign policy we're still dealing with the repercussions of. And that is exactly what Trump is trying to do here with Canada and fentanyl. He's trying to gin up enough public support for his crazy imperial ambition of annexing Canada. Here's the latest he had to say out there while he was doing crazy Donnie's used cars. They asked him about this. Here's what he had to say.
By the way, when you take away that artificial line that looks like it was done with a ruler,
yeah.
And that's what it was. Some guy sat there years ago and they said, rah. Well, when you take away that and you look at that beautiful formation of Canada and the United States, there is no place anywhere in the world that looks like that.
It's plus Greenland. It's plus Greenland.
And then if you add Greenland, that's even.
I mean,
that's pretty
good. It's going to look beautiful.
It's going to look beautiful, the Newsmax talking head answers. It was done by a ruler. Yeah, the 49th parallel. It was between the English and the United States, and there were treaties, and yeah, we set up the line that demarcates one country from another. That's how it works. That's how it works, is guys draw lines, and they determine whose borders are whose. You know, like Ukraine has its own borders too, right? But that's what Trump wants to do. He wants to be big man autocrat, and he really thinks that annexing Canada and Greenland will cement his legacy as the greatest president ever, because all great presidents add more land. Now, I think some people out there listen to this stuff, and they just think it's performative bluster. Aw, Trumpy. Trumpy talking about annexing Canada and Greenland. What a silly sod. But folks, Canada's taking it seriously. Greenland's taking it seriously. Europe is taking it seriously. Just recently, yesterday, there was a meeting between most of the heads of the European Union countries, the NATO countries as well, plus Australia and Japan. The U.S. not invited. The rest of the world is reconfiguring itself to understand there is a new axis of evil that's comprised of Russia, China, the United States, North Korea, Iran. We're the baddies now. And the rest of the world is organizing without us. And it may take us decades, maybe the rest of my life, for us to ever get back in the good graces of the rest of the free world. When a guy is talking about annexing his nearest and dearest ally, Canada has been our ally forever, fought alongside us at Normandy. And to get Canada pissed off at us? Unbelievable. I've got some amazing audio for you from a recent hearing that featured Representative Sarah McBride. And if you don't know, Representative Sarah McBride is representative from Delaware, and she is the first openly transgender representative in the United States Congress. Now, as you know, the Republicans are on a crusade against all gender nonconforming people. They just can't stand to have a world where there's anything but male, female, boy, girl, masculine, feminine. They can't deal with any shades of gray, any difference in that. So Sarah McBride threatens them because, you know, she is articulate, intelligent, and confident in herself. So she's testifying at this committee hearing, being chaired by Texas Republican Keith Self. And, you know, the House has been given directive through Mike Johnson having to do with, you know, people have to use the restroom that matches their birth sex, and we're going to refer everyone by their birth sex. So Keith Self, the Texas Republican chairing this, intentionally misgenders Sarah McBride in this hearing. And listen to the response from the ranking Democrat to this disrespect.
As the representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ranking Member Keating, also wonderful.
Mr. Chairman, could you repeat your introduction again, please?
Yes, we have set the standard on the floor of the House, and I'm simply...
What is that standard, Mr. Chairman? Would you repeat what you just said when you introduced a duly elected representative from the United States of America, please?
I will. The representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Mr. Chairman, you are out of order. Mr. Chairman, have you no decency? I've come to know you a little bit, but this is not decent.
We will continue this.
You will not continue it with me unless you introduce a duly elected representative the right way.
This hearing is adjourned.
I'm going to take my ball and go home. How dare you make me have to treat someone with respect? Good for you, Mr. Keating, for standing up for Representative McBride. And when it comes to this misgendering thing, again, have you no decency is the perfect response to this. Because here's the thing with this. Regardless what you think about transgender people, whether you think there is such a thing as transgender, whether or not you think they really are who they say they are, even if you don't think that, there is the basic respect of calling someone what they want to be called. When Cassius Clay, heavyweight champion of the world, adopted the Muslim faith and changed his name to Muhammad Ali, there were still sportscasters out there, this is back in the 60s, early 70s, who would purposefully misname him. They would purposefully call him Cassius Clay rather than his new adopted name of Muhammad Ali, doing so out of purposeful disrespect. Now, I'm not Muslim. Hell, I'm not religious. I think they're all wacky. All the religions are wacky to one degree or another. I think belief in God is silly. But I'm still going to call him Muhammad Ali because he's a human freaking being, and that's what he decides he wants to be called. I have to call Reverend Al Sharpton Reverend, even if I don't necessarily revere him. I have to call Keith Self a representative, even though what he stands for does not represent me in any way whatsoever. How difficult is it to be able to refer to Sarah McBride as Ms. McBride? It actually takes more effort to go out of your way to say Mr. McBride. The level of disrespect from these Republicans for the people who are the most affected, the most disrespected people these days, goes to show you the evil, the rot, the corruption at the heart of this party. It's a party now bereft of ideas, bankrupt of concepts, just all built on this fomenting of hate for the other. And I want to believe it can't last. I want to believe that we're the good folks out there and that we will overcome this. And it's finally nice to see one of the Democratic representatives standing up like this so forcefully. Thank you, Mr. Keating. Got some great international news to report coming out of Manila in the Philippines, where the International Criminal Court, with the cooperation of Interpol, has arrested the former president of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte. Now, Duterte came to my attention throughout my career reporting on the war on drugs because he was the most hardline drug warrior in the world, of as far as I could tell. He rose to prominence campaigning on going after drugs. He was going to be Mr. War on Drugs, and not just arresting people. In his 2016 campaign speech, he said, quote, "All of you who are into drugs, you sons of bitches, I will really kill you. I have no patience. I have no middle ground. Either you kill me or I will kill you idiots." He wasn't fooling around. When he got into power in 2016, he unleashed death squads, not just cops, but also a lot of vigilantes who would go after anyone who was suspected of being a drug user or drug dealer and just murder them in the streets. Police data say as many as 6,000 people were killed this way, just shot in the streets, not after being arrested, just on the rumor, on the claim that they were drug users or drug dealers. Of course, the human rights groups say that number is way low because it's a police number, of course. Human rights groups say the death toll could be as high as 30,000 if you also count all the innocent bystanders who get caught in the drug gun crossfire. Now, he was president from 2016 through 2022. Since then, only 8 policemen have been convicted for 5 of those victims. Over 6,000 at least who have yet to taste any justice. So the International Criminal Court launched a investigation into his crimes against humanity. And 2 days before his arrest, he was still defiant. Duterte said in Hong Kong, quote, "From my own news, I have a warrant from the ICC or something. These motherfuckers have been chasing me for a long time. What did I do wrong?" You know, other than getting your citizens murdered. So in Manila, they finally caught the guy. And you got to understand, the International Criminal Court doesn't have a lot of power on its own. And the Philippines hasn't been a member of the International Criminal Court since 2019. You know, Duterte saw the writing on the wall there. Let's get us out of there. But they still have jurisdiction over the crimes that were committed before 2019 in the Philippines. And there are plenty of them. And originally, they had trouble getting to Duterte because he had high level support from the former president's family, Fernando Marcos. You know, remember Imelda Marcos, Fernando Marcos. So the Marcos family, which still has some power in the Philippines, were tight with Duterte, and that prevented the ICC from going after him. But apparently now there's been a break between Marcos and the Dutertes, And so there is a new president, Marcos, who's another family member who's the president now. And now that they're not all chummy, that new president went ahead and accepted Interpol's request to come to Manila and arrest Duterte. So good to see some criminals, international criminals, are finally going to taste some justice. Others that are sought in arrest warrants from the International Criminal Court include the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, and part of his war cabinet. I forget the fellow's name. Yoav Gallant is also being sought for arrest by the International Criminal Court following their actions, their genocidal actions in Gaza. But Israel and the United States are not members of the International Criminal Court. They've also got warrants out for Russian President Vladimir Putin over his invasion of Ukraine. But they failed to arrest him when he visited Mongolia, which is an International Criminal Court member. Russia is not. Neither is the United States or Israel. Interesting how those countries don't want to be held to account by international law, huh? That music means it's time for our regular segment on Boycott Idaho, why you should avoid the handmade state. Particularly, we're going to boycott Idaho potatoes because there is no red state more associated with one particular product than Idaho and the potato. They even brag about it on their license plates. So if you're out there thinking about getting a baked potato or some French fries, think of something else. Maybe onion rings or a nice salad. Anyway, for today's Boycott Idaho segment, I want to talk about how Idaho is white and delightsome. And for those of you not in the know, that's a specific phrase from Mormon theology, white and delightsome. You may not know, but Idaho is the second most Mormon state in the United States after, of course, Utah, a high concentration of members of the LDS Church, which didn't until 1978 recognize black people to be eligible for their priesthood. Yeah, in Mormon theology, for the longest time, they believed that black skin was the mark of Cain, was a mark of evil, and because of that sin, black people couldn't ascend to the priesthood in the Mormon church. And that lasted through the civil rights movement, and then as it got into the 1970s, made them realize they didn't look so good to the public for banning black people from the priesthood, especially as you're trying to do missionary work and going across to places that are a little browner. So in 1978, the president of the Mormon church had a revelation. God had come down and said, hey, that whole Mark of Cain thing, that doesn't apply anymore. Black people are okay. Had nothing to do with, you know, pressure from society or anything. It was a divine revelation. Well, anyway, this mindset of white and delightsome pervades the state of Idaho, which is to this day one of the whitest states in the United States. In the state of Idaho, the entire black population of a state of 2 million people, just topped 2 million people recently, the entire black population of the state of Idaho would not fill all the seats in Boise State University's basketball arena. That's right. Boise State's basketball arena, the largest basketball arena in the state of Idaho, will seat 13,390 people. And there are 12,700 black people in the state of Idaho. 12,700, right? Idaho is not a great place for black people, and I don't blame them. First of all, one of the ways you can tell that Idaho's got this little race problem is their half-assed approach to Martin Luther King Day. Now, back in the 80s, there was the big push to designate a holiday for Dr. King, and it got adopted state by state by state. And there was a lot of attention to a couple of states that were the last two states to adopt it, which was Arizona and New Hampshire. And there was a famous Public Enemy song, By the Time I Get to Arizona, which was about, you know, state of Arizona being racist and not want to adopt the Martin Luther King holiday. But throughout all of that, what got missed is how Idaho half-assed it. Idaho was the 47th state to recognize the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, but they gave it a special name. They call it Martin Luther King Jr. - Idaho Human Rights Day. It's kind of the all holidays matter way of celebrating Dr. King, right? Yes, it's Dr. Martin Luther King Day who fought for black people's civil rights, but also we stand for all people's human rights as well. All human rights. So that just gives you some idea what we're dealing with here. And it's the kind of place where if you're a black person walking down the street, someone might just drive by and yell racial slurs at you. Last year, they had the women's basketball tournament, you know, the March Madness, right? College basketball. And so there were games up there in Spokane and in Northern Idaho, Spokane, Washington, and Northern Idaho right across from it. And there was a report from NPR that police in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and the FBI are investigating after a team in the NCAA women's basketball tournament said they were racially harassed while staying in the city. This was in Coeur d'Alene. These were members of the University of Utah women's team. They were walking to dinner, and some redneck in a big old pickup truck with a Confederate flag flying out the back drove by and yelled ninjas at them. They didn't say the word ninjas. They used a different N-word. And that same truck and another truck waited for them and followed them back from dinner to intimidate them. That's the kind of state we're talking about, where people feel so emboldened in their racism, they'll just drive down the street yelling it out in public. And this, of course, extends to Idaho's laws as well. Idaho, by law, rejects the concepts of diversity, equity, and inclusion, aka DEI, at all public colleges, which means that applicants to institutions of higher learning, Boise State University, University of Idaho, and so on, the academic institutions cannot ask about a prospective student's race, sex, ethnicity, or sexual orientation, or any of their views on the subjects of social justice. So, by not asking, by not figuring out who's applying that's white or black or Mexican or gay, if you don't have those statistics, you can't keep track of whether or not those people are being discriminated against, whether or not those people are being represented in the classroom at levels commensurate with their level of population. It's the old Trump trick. Hey, if we just don't count the COVID deaths, no one will know how many COVID deaths there are. They've also banned in Idaho, they've passed a law banning the teaching of critical race theory in Idaho schools, which is pretty much not ever taught in any school except maybe in some upper level classes in a criminal justice major. Critical race theory, if you don't know what it actually is the examination of systemic racism, of how our systems have within embedded in them a racism that's not necessarily an explicit racism, but acts as a racism. So it's a high-level concept. It's really deep in the weeds when we're talking about criminal justice and government and organizing society. It's not something that's being taught to third graders. But the way it's been sold on Fox is to say that critical race theory is to tell white people they're bad and racist. That's what they think critical race theory is telling white people they're bad racists. So forget about making any studies in the universities there about how racism affects our systems. And the racism isn't limited to just black folks. I should point out that while Idaho only has 12,000 black people, it does have a whole lot of Hispanic and Native American people, especially up in northern Idaho where the Nez Perce lived. And there was a story came out a few months ago. This was up in the northern Idaho town of Kendrick. And reported by the Moscow Pullman Daily News, they were having a candidates forum where the Republican, his name is Dan Foreman, having this town hall meeting, and then Trish Carter Goodhart was the Democratic candidate. Okay, so I'll read you from the report. Trish Carter Goodhart, a Democratic House candidate for seat A in the district, said in a news release that after a question was asked about discrimination and whether it exists in Idaho, she said that, quote, just because someone hasn't personally experienced discrimination doesn't mean it's not happening. Racism and discrimination are real issues here in Idaho, as anyone familiar with our state's history knows, end quote. That's where Dan Foreman reportedly responded back to Carter Goodhart, quote, I'm so sick and tired of this liberal bullshit. Why don't you go back to where you came from? Why don't you go back to where you came from, Trish Carter Goodhart, who was born and raised in northern Idaho as a member of the Nez Perce tribe? Northern Idaho is where she comes from long before the Foreman family ever set foot in North America. Who is the leader of the Democratic opposition? No, really, it's a serious question. Who is our leader at this point? Because right now, canvassing across the country, crisscrossing this great nation of ours, independent senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders, is filling arenas with what he calls the Stop Oligarchy Tour. Standing room only, people standing in lines once again to hear Bernie Sanders go off about the 1%, the oligarchy, the rich that are killing this country. How long is it going to take the Democratic Party to finally figure out where the people are and how mad we are? Because it seems like only Bernie Sanders understands this. Now, I was a Bernie supporter in 2016, and I understand there's Bernie's got problems. Everybody's got some problems when it comes to trying to support them. But on this issue alone, this oligarchy, this income inequality, this gilded age we're living through, Bernie Sanders has been dead right for decades now. You got Hakeem Jeffries over in the House putting out, you know, one or two or three posts a day, like hardly communicating at all. Chuck Schumer missing in action. What's it going to take? How many years in a row does Bernie need to go out and fill halls before the Democratic Party recognizes that the motivating issue of our time right now is class? Is the upper class taking advantage of all the rest of us? And that's not to say that our issues aren't intersectional, that class doesn't intersect with race, doesn't intersect with sex, doesn't intersect with gender. There's all sorts of intersections there. But the one commonality we all share is the upper class keeping us separate, keeping us fighting each other over these culture war issues while they rob us blind, while they literally plug their Doge thumb drives into our Treasury Department and start sucking money out for some, I don't know, what is it, the cryptocurrency reserve now? Is that the latest grift? We need to have a Democratic shadow cabinet. We need to have a Democratic Party that organizes as if they were in power and responds on a daily basis to the litany of idiocy and insanity coming out of the various organs of the White House. How is Robert F. Kennedy sitting at some fast food joint promoting measles while we don't have our shadow secretary of HHS, somebody we could count on, some legit doctor, countering this nonsense? How do we not have a shadow secretary of defense, a well-respected military genius out there telling us how terrible it is for us to be breaking up our alliances with Canada and NATO, how wrong it is for us to be allying with Vladimir Putin against Ukraine? It seems that Jeffries and Schumer are relying on the time-tested Democratic strategy of, well, let's just sit back until the Republicans are so awful that they have no choice, the voters have no choice but to come back to us Democrats with open arms. People don't want to support you because you're the lesser of two evils. People want to support you because you are a greater good. We don't want to just rely on you to stop the bad that's happening. We want you to promote the good that the United States could be. And maybe we're at a point where it can't happen. Maybe because of Citizens United, maybe because of the extreme graft in our system now, the need to please the donor class, maybe it's not possible anymore. Maybe we're just in a situation where capitalism has two parties and one of them has rainbows. Because we really need now somebody to be standing up for the little people, standing up for the small business owners, standing up for labor, standing up for the disabled, standing up for the seniors, and somebody that means it. Somebody that's willing to actually break things, start massive protests, have massive boycotts. And already the people are trying to show you the way, Democrats. We're self-organizing at Tesla dealerships. We have to go to protest Tesla to protest our government at this point. There is such a vacuum right now waiting for a strong leader to step up and marshal the forces of the United States, the people, and their need for good leadership, for wise leadership. It's not good enough for Democrats to just sit back and let the Republicans implode, because, folks, they have a whole ecosystem over there, a whole information ecosystem over there that papers over and whitewashes any of the bad stuff that's happening. They've got a whole George Orwell 1984 don't believe your eyes network system of blogs and podcasts and websites and think tanks and TV shows and cable networks that are fully brainwashing about 35% of our country. We got nothing like that on our side. We've got no coordination of messaging to counter what's going on. People aren't going to naturally figure this. This is one of the things I used to have to deal with when I was dealing with marijuana legalization, is the people who believed, well, if we just show them the facts, science, reason, and logic, they'll come over to our side. They won't. If facts, science, reason, and logic won the day, Democrats would have an unbroken streak of presidencies dating back to the 40s. And we don't. Facts, science, reason, and logic don't always win the day. They can be supportive of your campaign, but your campaign needs to be aspirational. Your campaign needs to be storytelling. Your campaign needs to cast heroes and villains, good and evil. And the fact that the Republicans can still, in poll after poll, be considered more trustworthy on the economy, just to pick one subject out there, poll after poll always shows that the Republicans are more trusted on the economy. When throughout my entire life, every Republican administration has fucked up the economy. Reagan had the Reagan recession. H.W. Bush, the SNL scandals. George W. Bush, the Great Recession, the economic collapse. And of course, Trump. With what's happening now, you know, the stock market's falling, 401ks are dying, eggs are $8 a dozen. Every time a Republican gets in office, the economy craters. Every time a Democrat follows them, they fix the economy. And yet, in poll after poll, Republicans are more trusted on the economy. So obviously, facts, science, reason, and logic aren't working there. What is working? A steady drumbeat from Fox News that tells them Democrats are tax and spend liberals. Democrats are spending money to $8 million to research transgender mice. Democrats are wasting your money on this and that and the other thing. We don't have anything like that. And I think for years what happened was Democrats kind of coasted because the culture is kind of on the Democratic side. You know, Hollywood and popular entertainment. And the news used to be at least somewhat neutral. And so they kind of coasted. Well, we don't need to. They got their silly little Fox network and their silly little websites over there. But we've got the New York Times and the Washington Post and ABC News. And well, how's that working out? Washington Post, now owned by Jeff Bezos, specifically banning any opinions in the paper that don't toe the libertarian line. The New York Times openly cheerleading, framing their headlines, framing their stories in a positive light for Trump. Posted on this whole idea of the liberal media when the media never was very liberal in the first place. And now it's been co-opted by the right and you got no media. Time that changed. It's time Democrats got serious about changing it. And it goes down smooth. All right, folks, that's all the time we've got for this morning. The Radical Russ Show is produced, directed, researched, written, recited, posted, and catered by me, Radical Russ Belville, and governed by Creative Commons share-alike licensing. My main theme is We Love the Herb by Herbal Nation, and interstitial music is by freestockmusic.com and by VTEMO, courtesy of freetouse.com/music. You can contact me by email at radicalruss@gmail.com. Call my message line at 877-RUSS-420. That's 877-877-420. And you can reach me by social media on bluesky@radicalruss.com and nowhere else. You can support this podcast financially by donating to @RadicalRuss on Venmo, $RadRuss on Cash App. Make sure you get that right. Or via PayPal on my website at radicalruss.com. This podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, my website, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care of each other. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.